in a positive or negative manner. By increasing your emotional intelligence, you can improve a relationship by having a better understanding of how what you say and do affects someone else. Likewise, with improved emotional intelligence, you will be able to better understand how someone else's actions and comments affect you emotionally. The act of practicing mindfulness causes you to think about and examine how you feel in the present moment. This increased awareness of yourself, your own feelings and emotions, can only help improve your relationships with others. Having an increased awareness of your own feelings will also help you better understand the other person, their feelings and emotions in the relationship too. Emotional intelligence can be learned like many other skills. It just takes some effort, but the rewards will be felt across your life in so many positive ways. Many are now saying that emotional intelligence is as or even more important than intellectual intelligence. With greater emotional intelligence, you will likely see your relationships with everyone improve, affecting your romantic life, your family life, your work life, and your social life. Improving your emotional intelligence through regular practice of mindfulness will not only help you become more self-aware of how you feel, but will also help you relate and empathize with how others feel too. An improved self-awareness will likely lead to you being better able to communicate your feelings and emotions sooner and before they potentially become an issue in the relationship. An improved general awareness of others' feelings and emotions will also allow you to change your behavior, actions, and/or compromise sooner, hopefully before becoming an issue in the relationship. An overall better awareness of feelings and emotions and how they affect you and others will improve how everyone in the relationship feels about being more open and vulnerable. Improved emotional intelligence through mindfulness practice will help you listen more and have a greater degree of understanding of how someone is receiving what you are saying. Improved emotional intelligence will likely lead to more emotional intimacy, which strengthens relationships. Show more empathy. There are several types of empathy, but in terms of relationships, emotional empathy is probably the most important. Emotional empathy is the ability to feel as someone else does by picking up the non-verbal signs, verbal information, and body language. Everyone in a relationship likes to feel they are understood, and this is an important factor in strengthening the bonds between people. When you feel understood in a relationship, you feel that the relationship is more fulfilling and in turn can open up for more understanding and become more invested in that relationship. Mindfulness has been shown to increase empathy in those who practice it regularly. By improving your awareness of the present moment on many fronts, including how you feel, gives you a greater understanding of how others are feeling too, making you more empathetic to them. Your communication with another person becomes more empathetic as you understand their internal world better and with compassion. Many experts believe that empathy is a fundamental component of all relationships in one form or another. By being more empathetic and understanding of your partner in a relationship, you are conveying not only that you care, you are also improving the connection and trust that you have with them. Experience less stress. Stress can be caused by any number of issues from work to health problems, but it can seriously impact your relationships in a negative way. Often the cause of the stress is from outside of the relationship and has the effect of pushing you further apart within the relationship. Stress also has another side effect, as when we are stressed for whatever reason, we feel less secure in our relationship as a result. Stress can make us more irritable and less tolerant of small things that wouldn't normally worry us. Stress has an impact on our communication skills, making us less able to converse in a positive manner. Stress also negatively affects how you perceive your relationship with another. Also, stress and anxiety have been shown to make us attracted to other people instead of focusing on the one we're already with. Stress, even when caused by life and experiences outside of the relationship, can mark the end of the relationship unless accepted and brought under control. Regular mindfulness practice helps reduce your stress levels by helping you become more balanced and centered. By being less stressed, you will be less likely to overreact, less likely to be irritable, more tolerant and positive about all aspects of your life, including the relationship. With consistent mindfulness practice, you are aiming to approach stressful situations more as a challenge instead of a threat. Stress adds up. The more stressful you tend to feel, the more stressful another event or situation then feels, adding to the stressed and anxious feelings you already have. It only needs one of you in the relationship to start suffering with stress at work or somewhere else for it to start to cause issues within the relationship. If you are more irritable and less tolerant of your partner, they are likely to start mirroring that behavior or change their behavior to avoid conflict, as well as potentially starting to develop feelings of resentment. Likewise, though, with just one of you practicing mindfulness each day, the benefits will be felt by both, too. As the person suffering with the stress starts to feel the benefits of mindfulness and feeling less stressful and anxious, their partner will relax more, too. Even if the person practicing mindfulness is not the one currently suffering with the stress, they will be more empathetic, more compassionate, and more tolerant of the other's stress-related behavior, and will also likely help reduce the stress levels of their partner. Become more accepting. Many of us may not be happy to accept that we all have our flaws, some more than others, but we all have them, whether we like them or not. No person on this planet is perfect, and perfection cannot be achieved, however hard you try. Acceptance is a fundamental principle of mindfulness practice. Part of being mindful is accepting how you feel in the present moment, whether that be pain, emotions, or feelings. Being mindful will also help you accept what your flaws are and enable you to be more conscious of them when interacting with people, hopefully making your communications and interactions happier and more positive. Once you have accepted that you are not perfect and have flaws, then you have to accept that everyone else has flaws too. When you accept that the other person in your relationship has flaws as well, and assuming you are prepared to accept those flaws as part of that person, you will become less irritated by them. Mindfulness also teaches us to accept situations as they are in the moment too. Often our natural reaction to painful and distressing situations is to avoid them and not acknowledge what we are feeling in the moment. But by not fully accepting what is being experienced right now, we are just putting off having to deal with these feelings and either prolong the pain or suppress them to be dealt with later. In both these cases, it is almost always likely to mean that more suffering is involved over a prolonged period and often without a resolution to the cause. If you are more mindful and accept a situation for what it is, along with how it feels, with all the pain and hurt that it may bring, you are then better placed to start making the changes to stop it occurring again. If you have not fully accepted what it is you are feeling, you cannot know for sure that any changes that you do make will make the right differences or cause you additional suffering. Acceptance is not about changing how you feel, but accepting everything that you do feel and experience in the moment. The acceptance will likely be the first step to a chain reaction that helps rectify the cause too. Build stronger relationships. Mindfulness helps develop a better sense of self-awareness of the thoughts and feelings that you are having, and it teaches you to respond deliberately, non-judgmentally, and with compassion to oneself. This provides you with better self-esteem, inner confidence, and independence. All of these traits, when brought to a relationship, will help you be stronger in the relationship as well as help strengthen the relationship itself. Your general well-being will improve with mindfulness, including self-acceptance, self-compassion, and give you a fuller understanding of your purpose in life. This will help improve the quality of any relationship, especially if both parties are in a similar state of well-being. The sense of self that mindfulness brings will enable you to pursue personal and relationship goals with an authenticity in line with your true values and beliefs. Chapter 7. Being happier at work. Just believe in yourself. Even if you don't, pretend that you do, and at some point you will. Venus Williams. The busy world we all work in now requires us to flip-flop our attention from the actual work and functions we are paid to do, and to respond to emails, make telephone calls, make presentations, and attend meetings, to name just a few distractions. I'm sure you're already thinking there is enough on your plate at work to distract from completing your tasks without adding in mindfulness too. However, by being more mindful at work, you will quickly learn that you can become more productive and happier doing your job. Many large corporations are starting to realize that by encouraging staff to incorporate mindfulness into their lives, that they will not only see the benefits in the workplace and improvements to their bottom line, but their staff are generally happier with life too. Even if you don't work in a large corporation that offers mindfulness sessions and meditations to its staff, you can easily see the benefits yourself by taking the step of practicing mindfulness on your own. You will likely become more productive, enjoy work more, and it could be the next step towards your career goals. Improve your attention. Being able to give your full attention to a task or goal at work is fundamental to completing or achieving it in a timely and productive manner. Many of us, including our employers, underestimate just how important attention is to the job at hand, to staff performance, productivity, and their happiness in the workplace. With each year that passes, technology increases in speed, or there is another tool or distraction created that draws attention away from the job you are actually paid to do. Effectively, your attention becomes divided, giving you less time and sporadic focus on the main roles of your job. Being able to focus and maintain your attention on a particular task becomes more difficult and more important with more distractions. Focused attention is a skill that can be programmed into the mind, and, once learnt, will help in many areas of life, not just work. Being mindful requires us to focus on the here and now by being in the present moment instead of just allowing our minds to wander with no form of monitoring. Effectively, it's a form of attention focus, enabling you to complete your tasks effectively and with fewer errors, as you need to be focused on the task at hand. Contrary to popular belief, human minds are not capable of multitasking. They are only capable of single-tasking, or thinking of one thing at a time. What human brains are good at is jumping from one thought to another so quickly that it seems like multitasking. This means you are not fully focusing your attention on just one thing while this is happening, and this is where mindfulness comes in. Typically, to start with, mindfulness teaches you to focus on your breath only. This trains your mind to maintain focus in the present moment on your breath. It also teaches you that when your mind does wander, that this is okay, but attention needs to be brought back to your breathing again, making you refocus your attention. Studies show that this action of focusing on your breath and refocusing when the mind wanders trains your brain and effectively creates a process that can be applied for focusing on other things too. By practicing mindfulness consistently, you will notice that at work, when you have a specific task to complete and you are being distracted by emails, telephone calls, social media and colleagues, you will find refocusing easier, saving you time and errors. Ideally, mindfulness will show you that you can maintain focus on the task at hand, even while other distractions occur, by acknowledging their occurrence and accepting that they will be dealt with after your task is complete. A simple exercise to help train your mind for better attention is at the start of the working day or in a break. Set the timer on your mobile phone for a minute, and in that minute, focus only on your breathing. Notice the breath coming in through your nostrils, the air moving down into your lungs, and the effect on your body as the air is exhaled through your mouth. If your mind wanders, this is fine, and don't criticize yourself. Just bring your attention back to your breathing again. As you become more proficient at maintaining your focus, you will also start to be able to control where your focus is placed. you will be able to consciously move attention from one task to another as you choose, instead of reacting to the latest call on your attention. This will not only benefit you at work, but will also help in all areas of your life, and help you understand how important attention and focus are for whatever you are trying to achieve in life. Improve your performance. There are several factors that affect your performance at work, including relationships with colleagues, customers and suppliers, your overall well-being, how you respond to criticism, your general communication skills, your ability to lead others, and how you respond to stress. These are just a few, but improving these through mindfulness will almost definitely lead to improvements in your performance at work. Mindfulness helps you develop compassion, self-awareness, and emotional regulation. By improving these traits, it will help you develop a better understanding of yourself and those around you, which is fundamental to building and maintaining relationships, whether at work or in life generally. Someone that has these traits and can cultivate relationships in a caring and understanding manner is an asset to any team. By practicing mindfulness on a regular basis, you will likely improve your general well-being, which usually comes with several performance-enhancing attributes. With a better general well-being, you are likely to be more confident and more sure in your own abilities and offer yourself less doubt. You are also likely to understand where your current limitations extend, enabling you to know when you should ask for assistance or advice. You are also likely to be generally calmer, helping you deal with comments and criticisms from others with a more constructive approach. Mindfulness helps you to be less judgmental of others, which will help you to understand whether criticism is valid or whether it should be dismissed. A key element to mindfulness is to listen to yourself, whether that be emotionally, physically, or psychologically. Using this skill when listening to others, along with just listening more, will help build relationships with colleagues, customers, and suppliers. It will also help you learn more, and what you learn could be fundamental to completion of a task in a quicker or improved manner. Taking a bit more time to listen to what others in the workplace have to say could lead to massive improvements in your performance. If you are a manager or leader of others in the workplace, they are more likely to respond and perform if you are calm, decisive, and self-regulated. By improving your own performance at work, you can also improve the performance of others around you or beneath you, just by association. Often, performance is a team effort, and how you behave and act can have a direct impact on others, and that also has a knock-on effect to the team's overall performance too. Improve your stress management. Stress in the workplace nowadays is an all-too-common phenomenon that affects almost all of us at some point. Stress from work seems to be increasing, working hours are being lost, and it is damaging workers' health mentally, and in some instances physically too. While many employers are aware and keen to help employees reduce stress from work, it is important to take control of your own stress and anxiety, regardless of what your employer may offer. Stress, regardless of its source, affects every area of your life. Learning how to cope and deal with stress induced from work is key if it is not going to affect your performance and your personal life too. By reducing your work-related stress, you should expect to see improvements in absenteeism through sickness, increased job satisfaction, higher levels of motivation, increased attention, better decision-making, more creativity, and better relationship skills with colleagues. You owe it to yourself and your life to understand your own stress and do whatever you must do to reduce it. With improved understanding and control over your work-related stress, you could potentially further your career and have more successes, not just at work, but throughout your life. One of the most important factors when dealing with stress is recognizing that you are starting to feel anxious and stressful about a situation, a deadline, a goal, or similar. Mindfulness helps with this by encouraging you to be more aware of your feelings and emotions in the present moment. Once you have the skills to notice how your emotions and feelings are changing, you can make other changes to help cope or reduce these feelings. As regular mindfulness practice helps calm your mind, allowing you to see things with greater clarity, it should reduce the impact of stressful situations, which should help you make better and more confident decisions. This is not to say that you won't suffer with stress, as we all do at some point, but mindfulness teaches us that it is a feeling that will pass in time, if we accept it without giving it too much focus. Mindfulness also teaches us that stress and anxiety are often rooted and multiplied in our own thoughts, and that they are just that, only thoughts. Many stressful and anxious feelings rise from perception instead of the reality of the situation. Mindfulness helps you understand your own personal relationship with stress, what triggers your stressful feelings, and what causes them to increase. Mindfulness also encourages compassion and empathy for yourself, as well as others at work. As you practice mindfulness, the way you approach life, including work, will change, helping you to become less prone to stress, but there are many small mindfulness techniques that you can practice at work when you are starting to notice the stressful feelings bubble up. Improve your emotional control. While many companies like to think that emotions should be left at home, this is just not possible, although you can learn how to manage and regulate your emotions using mindfulness. In the workplace, as with anywhere else in life, emotions play a role in how well you perform, your stress levels, your productivity, your relationships, and decision-making. So, if you want to be more productive, perform better, manage your stress levels, and improve your work relationships, then learning how to regulate your emotions is important. You should not underestimate how important your emotions are, or those of your employees. Without control and conscious effort, when an emotion arises, we react instinctively, which can have all sorts of effects on those we work with, what we think of ourselves in the workplace, and can slow down your career progression. Instead of reacting, mindfulness teaches us to pause when we have the urge to react, and instead make a considered response if one is needed. A considered response when others would react will help how you are perceived by your colleagues and managers, and could help improve your career progress too. There are many studies that show that mindfulness helps with emotional regulation and lessens emotional reactivity. Mindfulness encourages you to accept those emotions that you are feeling with compassion and curiosity. Studies are also showing that the more you practice mindfulness, the less you have to actively manage your emotions, as it becomes a subconscious skill. There are several proactive techniques you can implement easily to help manage your emotions at work. Firstly, make sure you use the awareness that mindfulness brings to notice when emotions start to bubble up as early as possible, so you are prepared for the likely reactions to watch out for, and start preparing yourself to pause and respond when and if needed. You can also think about situations or tasks that cause specific problem emotions in you, and either avoid them or plan for them well enough in advance and take as much control as it is possible. For situations that cannot be avoided or adjusted to, make them less emotionally charged for you. Use your mindfulness skills to focus your attention on what it is you should be doing, instead of the emotions themselves. Mindfully accept that the emotions are there and that they will pass shortly unless you start to focus your attention on them. While it may be tempting to suppress any emotions you are experiencing, and it may work for you in the short term, suppressed emotions will come out later, and usually with greater impact. Improve your decision-making. We all have to make some form of decisions at work. The higher you are in an organization, the wider the potential implications of the decisions you make. Sometimes we do not fully appreciate the full implications of our decision-making at work until something goes wrong. By becoming more mindful about the decisions you take at work, you can increase your confidence and the confidence of others in your decision-making, which can only help your career. As most of us know the difference between right and wrong, we know what is expected of us as an employee and what the main goals of the business are. We should be able to make our decisions that support all of these criteria. However, sometimes it's not always clear which decision best serves us, our role and or the business. Sometimes there may be perceived conflicts, or the decision that needs to be taken may make us feel uncomfortable. Mindfulness teaches us to be present and to have an openness to whatever we feel about a particular decision. It teaches us to view how we feel with compassion, empathy, and curiosity, so you can consider how each decision will affect how you feel and how it may affect others or the business overall. By being more aware and attentive to decisions before you make them, you should be able to make decisions without allowing your ego and self-judgment to influence them, and be in the best interests of you, your role, and business. While you are using mindfulness to make a more considered approach to decisions, you should notice that there are less mistakes compared to knee-jerk reaction-based decisions. You should also find that decisions are a lot less emotionally based, making them more likely to be correct. Chapter 8. How to be mindful. Mindfulness is a way of befriending ourselves and our experience. Jon Kabat-Zinn. Mindfulness is very simply the act of paying attention to what is going on right now, in the present moment, whether that be inside or outside of your body and your mind. Mindfulness is about living in the present moment and not ruminating on what has happened in the past or worrying about what is going to happen in the future. What has happened in the past cannot be changed, and what is going to happen in the future is purely in your imagination in the present moment. The present moment is the only time that you can actually affect your life by making decisions. It is the only time you can experience life as it happens to you, and it is the only time you can affect your future. By being more in the present moment, you will find that life is more enjoyable, happier, and fuller, as you will be experiencing more of it. There are some fundamental principles to mindfulness that you should always bear in mind when practicing. Be present. The most important element of mindfulness is being present now. There are several ways you can do this, but just being aware that you should be in the present moment more often is a good start, as most of us don't think about time and life this way. The most obvious ways of making sure you are in the present moment are 1. Notice how you feel. When you catch yourself thinking about something that happened in the past or worrying about something in the future, take notice of how it is making you feel right now in the present. Remind yourself that these are just thoughts and not what is happening to you right now. Choose to focus on what is happening around you right now, and try to notice visually and audibly what is going on and how you feel about it. 2. Do just one thing at a time. We are used to having to juggle multiple tasks most of the time. It is especially more difficult with mobile phones around us all the time, pinging and buzzing trying to get our attention. Choose to focus on one task and ignore all other calls on your attention for a while. Set yourself a time limit if it is easier. If you are pouring a glass of water, only pour a glass of water, and don't think about anything else other than pouring the glass of water. If you are cleaning the bathroom, only think about the action of cleaning and all that it involves with sights, smells, and sounds. By focusing on the only thing you are doing in the present moment, you will enjoy it more, be better at it, and likely complete your task quicker, and you would have been present throughout. 3. Take your time. By acting slowly and deliberately, you will notice more of the present moment naturally. Think about each action before you take it, regardless of how small or trivial it may seem. Ask yourself, why are you doing whatever it is you are doing this way? As you take actions, notice the effects on the present moment. It should be a change in how you feel, what you see, smell, hear, or sense through touch. By taking your time, you allow yourself time to notice more of what is happening now. 4. Schedule space. When you make plans or plan your day, make sure you allow yourself time in between tasks or events to slow down and notice what is going on in the present. We all too often schedule tasks, events, or appointments back to back, and don't allow ourselves some breathing space in between to recenter and balance ourselves again before the next item on our agenda. In these gaps, take the opportunity to notice what has changed in the way you feel since the last time you checked. Spend a moment with yourself, or take a break and go for a quick walk. Just spend some time with yourself, your feelings, and your senses for a moment. 5. Pay attention. Whether it's when someone is talking to you, or whether you are out and about on your own, just pay attention without allowing your mind to wander off. We all do it when someone is talking to us. We start thinking about our response before they've even finished what they are saying, or our minds are somewhere completely different altogether. Try just listening to what is being said right now, and wait to form any opinions until they have completely finished talking. When you are out and about, pay attention to what you are seeing now and not what you already know is there. The same goes for listening, as well as for your other senses. You will be surprised how much you miss when you're not actively paying attention. 6. Eat slower. Mindful eating is a far broader subject than just eating more slowly, but just the act of consciously slowing down your eating brings you into the present moment. By eating more slowly, you will enjoy your food a lot more, enjoy the company more, and find the whole experience more enjoyable. Take a few more chews of your mouthful, put your cutlery down between bites, and join in with conversation with the other people you are eating with. After all, you or someone you care about is paying for what you are eating. Maybe they have prepared it for you too, and even if you are eating alone, by taking time to savor your food, it will help you remain in the present moment. You are also less likely to overeat, as it gives your brain a chance to keep up with what is going inside you. There are many ways in which you can help yourself be more present. The more you do it, the more you notice more ways it can be done. Be open. By being more open to experiencing everything that you feel, and what others think and feel, will enrich your life further. By being more open, you will discover that other people will also respond with more openness, and you will learn more about yourself and others too. In the cynical world we live, being open can be perceived as a sign of weakness, or can make you feel vulnerable. However, openness with oneself comes with a better understanding of why you may feel this way, and how that it is related to your own ego and how you believe others may perceive you. Being open with yourself. Many of us are not open with ourselves about how we are feeling in any given moment for many reasons. A common reason is for emotional self-protection, so we don't have to experience negative feelings if we are having them through fear of how we will react. However, by not acknowledging what you are feeling in the moment, you are storing up those feelings to manifest themselves later, and often in a way that is unexpected. As you learn to be more open with yourself about how you are feeling at the present, you will start to learn that feelings come and go all the time, and if allowed, they will generally pass without incident. You will learn that you can prolong a feeling by focusing on it more, and if left alone, it will change to another feeling relatively quickly on its own. To start with, being open with yourself about exactly what you are feeling can make you feel vulnerable, as it feels like you will have less control of yourself. However, you are just changing what you are controlling. By experiencing what you are really feeling in the present doesn't mean you lose control. Instead, your control is now based upon a better and well-informed you. You will learn that how you feel in any moment is your feeling and no one else's. Others may induce feelings in you, but they are your feelings, and you should understand them and their context in the present moment. Being open with others. Obviously, how open you are with others is a judgment about that particular relationship, but generally, the more open you are, the more it will improve the relationship. In fact, if you make a decision to open up or not open up, you can mindfully ask yourself why you are coming to this decision. Once you have understood how to be open with yourself, you can then become more open with others, as you will understand yourself better and can convey exactly how you feel with honesty. Nobody can argue or tell you that what you feel is wrong, as how you feel is how you feel. They may not understand why you feel the way you do, but by using your openness towards yourself, you hopefully will understand your feelings better and be able to explain what has caused you to feel the way you do. Being open about how you feel with other people will help them feel more comfortable with being more open with you, along with helping build trust between each other. At first, the act of sharing how you feel can make you feel that you are exposed emotionally, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. You will usually find that people respond with kindness, understanding, or at least an attempt at understanding. Do not be disheartened if understanding of how you feel is not forthcoming, as this is usually a reflection of the other's insecurities around trust, lack of understanding of their own feelings, or just disinterest. Openness about how you feel with others can only help improve your interactions with people and relationships you have that are important to you. Being open towards others. Once you have opened up and shared your feelings with someone else, it makes it a lot easier for them to explain about their feelings too. Once you are more open about your own feelings, it is a lot easier to understand someone else when they explain theirs. Just by you opening up, you can create an environment that enables both parties to express their feelings more. That's not to say the other person will, or it may take them some time, but by being more open yourself, you are enabling it to happen. When someone else opens up about how they feel, give them the same understanding that you would give yourself when it comes to your feelings. Remember to be present and listen instead of just waiting to speak. You may not understand why they feel a certain way, but with a better understanding of your own feelings, at least you might be able to understand what it is that they are feeling. This is a form of empathy. When someone feels they are being understood, they are more likely to open up further. Being more open with yourself, others, and empathizing more with others about their feelings could well open doors to a world you didn't know existed before, and a much more meaningful and fulfilling life. Be non-judgmental. We judge each other either in good or bad ways, and in so many different ways, without realizing we are doing it most of the time. More importantly, we are harsher judges of ourselves than of others. We are all trying to measure ourselves or others against images, stereotypes, egos, etc., and forming judgments upon these measurements, either correctly or incorrectly. What might be a correct judgment of someone today may not reflect a correct judgment of them as a whole. Likewise, we can easily judge ourselves incorrectly too. Often our judgments are based upon our past and experiences, which may have no bearing or relevance on who we are judging now. The society that we live in is competitive by nature, and while most aspire for something better, it is all too easy to be influenced by so many different factors. The only real solution is to practice being less judgmental as much as possible. We need to notice when we have made a judgment of ourselves or another, and potentially suspend that judgment indefinitely, or until we have more information. The reason we usually judge someone, something, or ourselves is down to how we feel about it, or them, at the time of making the judgment. The problem is that often once judgments are made, it's difficult to overturn them in our minds. If you take some time to understand how you are feeling in the present, it may help you understand where your judgment is coming from and whether it is fair. Are you judging them or yourself based upon what someone else said or did to make you feel this way in the past? Are you judging them without all the facts or information? Are you judging yourself based upon unrealistic media portrayals? Some ways to judge less. First impressions don't count. There is a lot to be said for making a good first impression. However, we all have off days, and would you like to be judged by someone else based upon how you are on an off day? We all come in different shapes, sizes, colours, orientations and personalities. If you base all your decisions on people on their first impressions, your life could be something completely different to what it is now. If someone makes a bad first impression, give them a break in the same way that you hope you would get a break on a bad day from other people. They probably know that they're having a bad day, so by you not passing instant judgment on them could help to improve their day too. Likewise, if someone makes a good first impression, all may not be what it seems initially. It takes time to get to know people, and often your opinion of many people will change over time too. Should you really make a judgment on someone before you've got to know them? Obviously no, you are probably thinking. But we all do it whether we admit it or not. Being mindful would mean that you notice when you're making or have made a judgment and choosing to suspend judgment until you've got to know someone for a while. Compare less. When we make a judgment, it is almost always based upon a comparison to something or someone else. Often these comparisons are either ill-formed or based more upon our own ego and insecurities we have about ourselves than anything in reality. Simply by making less comparisons, we will judge less. It is the same when you judge that someone is good or bad, tall or short, fat or slim, nice or nasty, and so on. The same applies when we judge ourselves too. We are comparing ourselves to other people, or what we believe others are, or how they would act or feel. Forget roles. When you make a judgment on someone, your role in relation to them should make no difference to the judgment of them. Whether you are a parent, spouse, partner, child, friend, boss, employee, etc., it should not cloud how you judge someone. Your judgments should be based purely on the other person, their personality, actions, and words. Basing judgments upon your role in relation to them doesn't take into account the rest of their life and who they really are. Likewise, by dropping your roles, you allow yourself to be who you really are, instead of the roles you've been assigned by society, yourself, and others. Value all ages. With age comes wisdom, and with youth comes exuberance and naivety. We all have heard that we should respect our elders, but we should also respect our youngsters too. Making judgments based upon age can be a huge mistake for many reasons. Someone who is older often has the benefit of experience and past mistakes that often many can learn from. On the flip side, being older can mean that you are less willing to try new things and are slower to accept change. Someone who is younger may not have the benefit of experience, but has the enthusiasm for trying new things and embracing change. Obviously, just because you are young does not mean you do not have experiences that many of us can learn from too. As is the case with older people, they are not likely to be wise on all subjects. Ultimately, we all have something to offer each other if we aren't quick to judge and allow each other time and space in a non-judgmental way to demonstrate what we have to offer and are capable of. Know you. You are unique in so many ways, and it is something you should celebrate. What makes us unique is everything that makes us wonderfully different from any other person, including all our life experiences, whether good or bad. The more you are aware of how you feel about yourself, the less likely you are to be judgmental and critical of others. If you have a better understanding of what it is to be you, with all your abilities and flaws, you are less likely to judge others for theirs so quickly. Do not try to change yourself to please others, make people like you, or to conform to other people's ideas. You will lose your character and personality that makes you uniquely you. Just by being yourself and understanding yourself will attract the right people into your life. Ensure that you are present as much as possible to understand how things make you feel, and listen to the signals that your body provides so you can make the right choices for you in your life. Embrace diversity. As mentioned above, we are all unique and come in varying colours, beliefs, orientations, and natural tongues. Someone being different to you should be treated as an opportunity to learn, instead of judgment. If we all looked the same and had the same beliefs, it would be a very uninteresting world. Instead of assuming you already know, or ignorantly not being interested, take the chance to widen your knowledge and horizons and learn as much as you can from other people. Taking the opportunity to learn from others, regardless of their backgrounds and appearance, will only increase your own knowledge and abilities to interact with more people. In the same way that you expect others to listen to you and your opinions without judgment, you should be present enough to ensure you do the same for others, regardless of who they are. By being less judgmental, you open up the possibilities to learn more and create stronger and more meaningful relationships. If you leap to judge too early, you could be restricting yourself now and in the future in all sorts of ways. Be accepting. Having more acceptance for what something or a situation really is will help you respond in the correct manner, instead of either responding inappropriately or not at all. If you do not accept things for the way they are, and instead fight them, you are wasting energy on denying the truth, when you could be spending that energy on improving the situation. So, by accepting things as they are, in truth, you might have to face some harsh realities, but you will be better placed to move forward too. You need to be accepting of yourself, others, and situations for what they really are. If you are kidding yourself about something, you are creating your own obstacles. Ways to be more accepting. Be positive. Often the reason why we don't accept others, ourselves, or situations is because we have noticed a negative or something we don't like. As mentioned before, we all have our faults, but most of us have many positive traits. Accept that not everyone, including yourself, can be perfect, and focus on their or your positive qualities more. Lost some money? Remember that you could have lost a friend. Lost your job? You could have lost your sight. Lost your home? You could have lost a child. Things don't always go as planned, but accept, acknowledge, and appreciate what you still have more often. When we accept ourselves, people, and situations for what they really are, warts and all, they become far less daunting, often more interesting propositions, and sometimes new opportunities. When you are more accepting of people, you will often find that they are more accepting of you, too. So, try to notice the positive in everyone, and everything, where you can, and you will find it a lot easier to accept them. Think in greys. It is very easy for us to think of the world as black and white, or as right and wrong. However, the world is very rarely like this in reality. Usually, something or someone is partly right and often partly wrong at the same time. By taking the view that someone or something can only be either wholly right or wrong causes you an issue, as most things are a bit of both. Which side do you come down on? If you do come down on one side, now you are partly right and partly wrong. Once you are more accepting that there is more to the world than viewing it in just black and white, and accept all the various shades of grey in between, you will start to experience the world in a new way, and people will become more accepting of you and your shades of grey too. When you are present, take note if you start to think in this black and white manner, and try to see if there are any greys. Pay attention to thoughts. While you are in the present moment, notice whether your thoughts are rushing you to form an opinion of someone or something without considering all the facts or information. It is only when you consider all the information that you have can you accept things for how they really are. Our mind is very good at tricking us into noticing negative things and giving them higher value than positive things. You should be suspicious of your mind if you can only notice negative or just positive thoughts relating to someone or something. There are exceptions, obviously, but almost everything has pros and cons, and make sure your mind is presenting them all to you so you can accept things as they are, instead of what your mind wants you to think. About turn. One good technique is to turn the tables. Imagine if someone else was judging you and not accepting you for the thoughts and beliefs that you have of someone else, instead of the reality of how things actually are. Would it be fair? Would you like it? Obviously not. So why treat someone else in a way that you would not like to be treated? Likewise, you can apply this to accepting yourself more, too. Accept yourself for who you really are, too. We all make mistakes and say the wrong things, and things that we don't mean at times. Accept that this is normal human behaviour. If you can accept someone else is human with faults, you must treat yourself no differently. Be connected. Part of mindfulness is connecting with ourselves and with the rest of the world to understand we are part of something bigger. Accepting who you are with all your faults and qualities will help you connect with yourself at a deeper level. Once you can connect with yourself in a truthful and open way, you will find it easier to connect with others too. Ways you can connect with yourself and others. Ask for help. Asking someone close to you about you can be empowering, but also might make you feel vulnerable initially. Explain that you are trying to improve yourself by better understanding yourself. People that are close and care about you will often notice things about you that you don't, or just take them for granted as normal. Assuming their comments are honest and truthful, you have an opportunity to better understand yourself and potentially identify areas that you can improve on. You may find some of their comments aren't what you are expecting, or they may make you feel like they are being too critical. However, please remember that they care about you and wouldn't intentionally say something to hurt you. You are trying to better understand and connect to yourself, and they are helping you, even if you don't like some of what you hear. Accept what you are told with an intention of better understanding yourself, connecting with yourself, and improving yourself. Most other people just see these types of comments as criticisms and do not take them as opportunities to improve themselves. Appreciate more. It is one of the simplest things you can do. It's free and will give you a warm feeling inside every time you do it. Not only that, it will help you connect with yourself and others too. You will better connect with yourself if you appreciate what talents and positive qualities you have. You can also appreciate what negative qualities you have too, and how they impact your life. By appreciating these, you can focus on improving or changing them through better understanding and appreciation of how they affect you and others. By appreciating others and what they bring to your life and those around you, you will better be able to connect with them. Appreciate all the positives that someone brings into your life and what your life would be like without these qualities. Even if you are appreciating the negatives that they bring into your life, you can at least understand, make decisions, and communicate your observations in a connected way. Appreciate everything else in the world. The air that you breathe and the quality of it. After all, it's what keeps you alive. Appreciate nature, including all the plants, trees, animals, and birds that surround you as you make your way through life. As they come into your world, you enter theirs too, so we are ultimately connected with everything. Appreciate that the thoughts and actions that you have now have an impact on others and the world around you in some way or another. Sense more. For most of us, the most obvious sense is sight. Take more time in the present to notice everything that you see. Your sight and brain is taking in everything and every little detail, from every blade of grass to every leaf on every tree. Your brain is clever enough to subconsciously filter out all of this detail so you don't have information overload and go mad, but start to notice some of this detail more consciously. There is a lot to see when you really look, and who knows what you will see and what effect it may have. Plus, you will certainly feel a bit more connected to it. As you move around, your ears are taking in a continuous stream of sound. It's your subconscious brain that applies filters, so you can differentiate important sounds from just the background noise. However, there is a lot to hear in the background noise if you actually try to listen, whether that be aeroplanes passing overhead, traffic noise, the whirring of pumps and fans of buildings that you pass, birds chirping in a distant tree, or the rustle of the leaves in the wind, maybe the wind itself. When you can take a moment to use your ears to hear what is really happening around you, you will feel more connected to your environment. There is an advertisement on TV at the moment for an air freshener that talks about nose blindness. Your brain filters out environmental smells, so it can focus attention on noticing and highlight smells that are not normally associated with the current environment. This is called sensory adaptation, and smell is where we experience it the most. Studies have shown that the more you think about smells, the more you notice them. So every chance you can, take a moment to notice all the smells and aromas you can around you right now. Over time, you should connect more with the world around you using smell and help reduce your nose blindness. One of the easiest ways to feel connected with the world around you is through touch. We take so many of the things in our world that we touch for granted, either through our hands or other parts of our body. Take a moment to notice how something actually feels when it is in your hand. Notice the texture, how it moves, and its temperature, for starters. You feel touch all over your body, so pay attention to how clothes feel against your skin, and whether parts of your body are feeling different temperatures. Taste is one sense that we notice regularly, but again our brain is very good at changing what it is that we actually experience as taste. Many studies have shown that what we call taste is made up from various other senses too, like sight and hearing. When you are eating, close your eyes for a couple of seconds and think about what you can taste in your mouth. Just by shutting off one of your senses, you may notice more or slightly different taste to the food. Obviously, you can put your fingers in your ears as well to shut off another sense, but you might get some funny looks in restaurants. A sense that many of us aren't familiar with is the vestibular sense. The vestibular sense detects movement, rotation, and relationship to things like gravity. This is how you know that you are moving when you are in a lift that has no visible signs of movement to your other senses. Likewise, it tells you whether you are standing or lying down when your eyes are closed. Try to tune into these feelings from the vestibular sense more often, and notice what it is telling you in the moment. Finally, one overlooked sense is proprioception. This sense is how you know where various parts of your body are in relation to the rest of your body. For example, you can clap your hands with your eyes closed because of proprioception. It also helps you understand where your body and where parts of it are in relation to the space and world around you, so you can plan movements. When you get the chance, take a moment to notice how you are connected to the world around you by using proprioception to notice the pressure your bum makes when sitting on a chair and where the weight of it is felt, where and why your hands are and where they are in relation to the rest of you. Almost all of proprioception happens in the subconscious, but by noticing what is being sensed, you will feel more connected to the world outside you. Be more compassionate. Compassion is an emotional state which is in the form of feeling the distress in connection with another person's suffering. Compassion is a completely natural state that is hardwired into mammals to help us survive by caring for others. It is born from the understanding that we all wish to be happy and none of us wish to suffer. It's recognition that we all share similar experiences and can relate to the suffering that others are going through. We all have some form of compassion, but some more than others. The good news is that compassion can be developed, so here are some pointers. Focus outwards. Most highly compassionate people focus on others' feelings and thoughts from a point of common understanding and show empathy that allows them to connect with others easily. You can't buy it. Money doesn't buy you happiness, and it certainly doesn't buy compassion either. In fact, studies have shown that people with more money tend to have less compassion. So if you have done well, then you should redouble your efforts on the compassion front. teach. Compassionate people have a habit of sharing their knowledge for others to benefit from. When you teach someone else, you are giving them knowledge that can empower themselves to improve their own lives.